You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo! Hello, and welcome to the only six-star wrestling podcast on planet Earth. This is the Good Brothers Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Jordan the Body Fox, and this is the morning show. We're back, guys. We took off Saturday and Sunday. We had some stuff go on Monday. Stayed up a little late with my son watching a little wrestling. So went ahead and took Monday morning off. And now we're back. Here we are. Tuesday, bright and early. How's everybody feeling? As you can probably tell by the name of the episode, this is going to be the Raw review. This is where we here at the morning show reviewed Raw inside about 30-35 minutes. So it's real quick. We don't go play-by-play for the matches or anything like that. We just go with the storylines. We talk about, you know, bad booking, which seems to be a lot here lately in the WWE. A lot more on the SmackDown breakdown, but anyway. We're not going to talk about New Japan's Strong Style Evolved on this episode because I've got two, maybe even three different guest hosts that are going to be coming in over the next week or two that's going to help break down some of the matches and the show as a whole. So we're really going to save that till we get some New Japan experts in here that can talk about the past storylines and where it's going from here and stuff like that. So as y'all know, I'm new to my New Japan fandom. So we're gonna not gonna try to act like I know what I'm fully talking about with the New Japan thing. But let's get started on the Raw review. Gotta get my radio voice. Radio voice engage. So we start off with Brock Lesnar's music hits. Him and Paul Heyman come out. They cut a pretty good promo. Seemed kind of long-winded to me. They, you know, obviously Paul's just doing all the talking. Paul's putting down Roman, saying Roman wasn't a man. Roman can't win. Roman couldn't win at 31. Well, Roman shows up. Cole sells it like a douche as always. God, Michael Cole, you suck. He's like, oh my God, he's here. He even did the little like whisper. Oh my God, he's here. Oh, and, you know, he's got a chair, and just like taking candy from a baby, Brock Lesnar, you know, hits him with a lariat before he can even hit him with the chair. Somehow or another, Roman gets the upper hand, and anyway, so he tries to hit him with a Superman punch after he has the upper hand for a minute. He's and does the stupid arm cock, and of course it gets reversed into a belly-to-belly suplex. He gets caught, pretty much. It's obvious they want Roman to be the face here, but the fans cheered. The fans cheered when he got beat up. When he took the chair shots, they chanted, "One more time. One more time. One more time." Like, if you're a babyface, and you're getting hit with chairs, and the fans are chanting one more time, it's not working. It's not working. Come on, I know I can't be the only guy in here. Out here, everywhere, I can't be the only one that knows. It's not working. It's not going to work for Roman. Turn the guy heel and let him progress as a character. His character is going to stall. This is what we're going to get out of Roman. This is it. This is what you're going to get out of Roman as a babyface. I mean, you're going to get more wins, more championships, but no one likes it. God, it's dumb. It's just so dumb. Brock ends up going back in for more. He F5s him on the steps, and then he actually poses for a picture with Roman, you know, like cradling in fear and in pain and stuff, and Brock standing on the stairs with this WWE Universal title and points at the WrestleMania sign. You know, pretty good little picture. So next up, we had Nia Jax versus Alexa Bliss. We had Nia Jax versus Mickie James. Alexa Bliss was with Mickie James out there. Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss is going to be at WrestleMania. Not going to do any WrestleMania predictions right now because we've got some shows coming up for that as well. But Nia throws her around. Commercial, as usual, right in the middle of the match. JR actually said something about this at Strong Style Evolved. I'm going to ask some of the hosts about it, but he said, we're going to let the matches go on full. No commercials in the middle of matches, guys. So I put it on Twitter. I kind of felt it was a little bit of a dig toward WWE, which I'm on JR's side. I think it's kind of dumb that all your matches are broke up with commercials. Like, you got a three-hour show. You can take commercial breaks and get some Nitro girls out there to do some dancing. Or, you know, I mean, WCW figured it out, you know? So I'm sure you can figure it out too, WWE. Of course, you won't. You're going to keep doing the same old shit. Anyway, with some Alexa diversion tactics, Mickey does get the upper hand for a while. She starts working the knee, but Nia hits a Samoan drop and it's over. Not much of a match there, to be honest with you. The one good thing that I can remember is when Nia was chasing Mickey on the outside, and she gets, Nia seems to get a sense that Alexa is there, and so she like turns around and starts walking towards Alexa. I just see Mickey was like, "Watch out!" That was pretty funny. But other than that, you know, it wasn't really much of a match. Next, which I thought was the highlight of the show, was the promo package with Stephanie McMahon and Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Triple H himself. The power couple were at the Performance Center, and they were, it felt like a shoot interview. Obviously it wasn't, you know, but, you know, they had it set up like a shoot style interview where they were aggravated, you know. Anyway, they did an interview on, Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle and their match coming up at WrestleMania. It was pretty good. Hunter, Triple H, he said, "This ain't Muay Thai, this ain't MMA, this is our world." And then Stephanie McMahon said the line of the night, not just the segment, of the night. She said, "Ronda doesn't scare me, I'm a McMahon. I'm a McMahon." I thought that was pretty good. So, if you live in Oklahoma right now, you know that it is storming pretty bad, so we lost our satellite for a little bit last night. So, right here was the Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali versus Drew Gulak and TJP, right? Anyway, was so like the weather knocked out our storm, so I actually had to hit up the guys at Social Suplex in our group message to even find out who the opponents were. So we lost the signal for a good little bit. I didn't get to watch any of that match. I got to see Cedric's music hit, and then, you know, on the DirecTV, if you have DirecTV, you know, in the bottom right-hand corner, it said some or all of this has not been recorded due to loss of signal, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, so it comes back on right as Miz, they're coming back from commercial, and Miz's music is playing. I thought that Miz would at least get a full-on intro, being his hometown. I don't know, I can't remember if we've been doing that because of Miz TV, if they've haven't been giving them an entrance when all the stuff set up for Miz TV, or was it because if it's his hometown, so he was getting a babyface pop? Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. But I did write in my notes, Miz didn't even get a hometown entrance. How dumb. He got some welcome home chants on air and before he even started talking. And the true heel, Miz himself, right before he started saying, "Welcome to the must-see WWE talk show on planet Earth. This is Miz TV." Before he said that, real quick, he said, "I moved to LA," or "I live in LA," something like, let's see my notes here, "I live in LA," that's what he said, I live in LA. I thought that was pretty good. He's dude, he's pretty awesome, man. I love The Miz. 2017 Wrestler of the Year for Rolling Stone, boy. My favorite. My son hates him. So we get to play for it. My son's 9, Bradford. So we get to argue about it a lot. It's pretty fun. He tells Bo and Axel, Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, they are failures. Bo Dallas gets mad at Miz, and Miz says he's trying to pump him up because he wants to be the best IC champ ever, right? So around this time, Rollins comes out, then Finn Balor comes out, and him and Miz and Bo are kind of at odds. Bo said a few things into the microphone about being, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he was pretty much saying that he couldn't defend the title without help. Which seemed kind of mean. It was really mean. But, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, if you just keep on listening, it really cool. It's really cool how the whole thing came together. So anyway, Curtis Axel is holding back Bo, and Seth Rollins and Finn Balor are behind Miz, you know, just eating it up, laughing. You see him corpsing behind him and stuff like that. Well, as Bo's being held back, Miz is looking at him, you know, right behind Curtis Axel, but looking at Bo, and he's talking. He's like, I want to be the best IC champion ever. I want to be better than, I don't know everyone that he mentioned, but I know he mentioned Rick Rude. I wish he would have mentioned the Honky Tonk Man, but I'm pretty sure he didn't. But then he said, Macho Man Randy Savage, Mr. Perfect. And all of a sudden, you hear the crowd go, ooh. And, you know, of course, you know, spoiler alert, Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, was Curtis Axel's dad. Kurt Hennig passed away. I can't remember what year he passed away, but he passed away from acute cocaine, pretty much kind of similar to an overdose. It wasn't exactly an overdose. Intoxication, I believe, is what it's called. Acute cocaine intoxication. Anyway, you know, of course, they're not talking about that. You know, he died. It really is a tragedy. That's not what I wasn't meaning to downgrade his death. I was just explaining to you what happened. Anyway, so Curtis Axel does some awesome facial expressions like, what, my dad? And then it looks like he gets mad for a second, you know? So Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel are shoulder to shoulder, and they're walking towards The Miz. The Miz starts backing up. Well, he bumps into Seth Rollins and Finn Balor that are shoulder to shoulder behind him. So now he's getting in the middle of this kind of like sandwich. And all of a sudden, he just like covers up, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it looks like Bo and Curtis are going to punch him, and they hit Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. Cool storyline, right? 15 minutes in the ring to get to all this. Maybe not 15, but 5 or 10. But, dude, it was freaking sweet. It was cool, man. Great storyline. Great way to suck his opponents from WrestleMania in there. Break them down before the match. Really cool, man. Just really cool. Let's see what else my notes say here. Let's see, he says, this is Mr. Perfect, it was a ruse, it was, I can't remember if it was Cole or, Corey Graves that said it, but it was a ruse to fool everyone. Anyway, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, they ultimately get the upper hand after the Good Brothers come out to help Finn. So, the Miztourage is taken off. Was it Rollins, I think, came in. Well, anyway, Rollins and Finn Balor they kind of push each other and are like kind of fighting over the IC title. Balor ends up hitting Rollins and ends up with the IC title in hand. But a really cool segment. Really cool segment. Asuka, after commercial break, Asuka has a squash match. I think the girl's name was Jamie or something like that. She had short, bleach blondish hair. Didn't get a chance to see if she was a good worker or not because she slapped Asuka. Asuka smiled at her and then a kick upside the left temple, and she was out for the 3 count. Corey Graves, I think it was right after, no commercial. Corey Graves attacks Cole for calling Ultimate Deletion obnoxious and stupid. This is what I talked about last week on the Raw review. I think it was last Tuesday, right? I talked about how stupid of it They're trying to make money off this gimmick. Why would they have Michael Cole being like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, I'm sorry that you have to watch this. That's freaking dumb. Like, dude, this guy, you know, Matt Hardy's trying to get himself over. Bray Wyatt is trying to get himself over in this, you know, in this feud. And you just cut him off at the knees. It's dumb. And you know, Michael Cole's an idiot, so he would not have said that unless someone told him to say that in the back, someone in his ear. So, you know, there's no telling who it was, but it's somebody that's, you know, like, I don't get it. If you can make money off Matt Hardy, make money off Matt Hardy. Y'all had a female strip down to her bra and panties and crawl around the ring and bark like a dog. But then you talk about how it's the ultimate deletion is stupid. Like, give me a break. God, that makes me so angry talking about Michael Cole and whoever's in his ear, you know? They reviewed Ultimate Deletion after that. Even Coach had a little bit of positive stuff to say. Michael Cole was still burying it. Then they have a segment from Matt Hardy, and he actually announces that he is going to be a participant in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Thought that was pretty cool. I don't know why him and Bray don't have a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. I mean, I figured you could get a 7-minute match in between the two of them with it being a 22-hour show, but I guess not. Or maybe they just didn't want to do that because they need some bigger names in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Maybe they're trying to make that a bigger deal. Not quite sure. But anyway, after commercial break. Oh, no, sorry. They put up on there a few other people that are in the women's battle royal. And Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Natalya, and Naomi are all going to be in the women's battle royal, which is no longer named after the great Moolah, or the fabulous Moolah, sorry. So, yeah. I'm glad they changed the name. We don't really talk about, you know, just news on this show, but I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you know exactly what happened, so there's no reason for us to go into that. So let's take a quick break. Let me hit up some coffee real quick, and we will get going for the second bit of the show. Hang on 1 second, guys.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
And welcome back to the show, guys. So, next up was a Sasha Banks and Bayley promo in the back. They were kind of talking back and forth. Bayley said that she was, you know, putting herself into the Women's Battle Royal. I think Sasha is as well. They fought over... I can't remember exactly what they fought over, but basically Bayley was like, Sasha, you put yourself first before anybody else, and, you know, I'm not going to be that friend anymore, and blah, blah, blah. Actually leads into a fight that Sasha provoked. She grabbed Bayley's hair from behind after Bayley was trying to walk away. So it makes me wonder, are they going to turn Sasha heel? Because she was also talking the most crap during the fight as well. This angle has built up, and it finally exploded, and I don't really understand why they had it explode in the back instead of in front of a crowd, but I guess, you know, because it was supposed to be a private matter in the back instead of out front, and it kind of fits the storyline better. That's the only reason I can think of, because any other reason, I would like to imagine that they were going to do it in front of the live crowd. But there you go. Next, we had a match between Braun and Sheamus, just like the Nia Jax-Mickie James bout. Cesaro playing the Alexa Bliss part, I guess you would say. He did a little distracting. Sheamus was able to work Braun's knee for a little bit, but the whole match lasted about 6 seconds. I mean, 4 to 6 minutes, and that's with a commercial break. So with, I don't know how long the delay was, so it might not even been 6 minutes. But anyway... Braun was never really in trouble. He kind of mocked the guys after saying he wanted their titles, doing the whole Aaron Rodgers thing after he scores a touchdown where he pretends the belt is around his waist, you know, and he's like outlining it with his fingers. So I'm just doing it right here in front of the microphone. Anyway, if y'all could only see. Anyway, next up was Kurt Angle and Ronda cut a promo. She said Steph is a, and this is out in the ring, mind you. She said Steph is, this is one of my favorite lines of the night. The only one that was better than this line right here was, I'm not afraid of Ronda Rousey. I'm a McMahon. Anyway, this is what she said. She said, Steph is trust fund tough, limousine tough, personal trainer tough. Man, I love that freaking line. I love it. May get it tattooed on me. Anyway, Absolution comes out and offers backup in a sarcastic way. I mean, they really were offering it, but they come off, you know, as sarcastic, obviously. They attack and Ronda goes over. So basically, sorry, my nose ditched right there. So basically, Kurt tries to like be peacemaker, but Sonya Deville tries to attack Ronda. And Ronda goes over with an ugly, I guess it was supposed to be a clothesline, but it was horrible, man. It looks like she's going to get someone hurt in there. And then Mandy Rose obviously begged off, not making Ric Flair very happy with the way she begged off. She didn't look too good doing it. Then she tries to kick Ronda. Ronda catches her leg, turns it into, is it T-bone suplex? Or exploder suplex, something similar to that. Barely gets her over, and she was supposed to, you know, like hit Sonya Deville, and Sonya Deville, I guess, supposed to kind of like catch her in a way. Didn't quite happen like that. Looked like she hit around Sonya's knees. So I think it's really early to be letting Ronda do all this stuff. They're letting her do a little bit more and more every week, and she's not really looking that good, to be honest with you. Her timing is off, you know, and that's not just in the physical part. I mean, her cues, she's missing her cues. Like, they had a drum roll. Remember 2 weeks ago, they had a drum roll on, we get to find out who Ronda's WrestleMania opponent is. And it was like, drum roll, please. And she said, you. And then you hear, the drum roll. So her timing's off. And that's, you know, physical and, you know, with the physical and the, you know, the stick work as well. So that's some stuff they need to work on. I mean, she's obviously doing better than anybody that me or anybody that's listened to the podcast probably could. So, but I mean, that's the whole point of the show, is the Tuesday morning quarterback it. You know what I mean? Anyway, so I just wrote my notes. She's looking like a true amateur. Her timing is off and her skills are just lacking. Not blaming her. She should have just spent a year getting ready, which is true. She should have been in the Performance Center, the Indies, NXT. She should have done anything besides go straight to WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like, WrestleMania and possibly closing the card is the rumor right now. Closing the night with a mixed tag match that's obvious who's going to win. And it's, dude, fans are going to be cheering for Ronda Rousey with some, you know, very mediocre wrestling skills at the time. That doesn't work for me. Please don't end the match. Please don't end the card with that, guys. That's so dumb. Tweet me at Good Bros Podcast if you feel different. Let's see. Next, we have from earlier in the night, we have an actual matchup that came from the Miz TV little segment that they had there. Which is the Balor Club versus Mr. Raj. The Club go over pretty easy, I'd say. How do y'all feel about the Club's music? I like the beginning of it. It's pretty cool, but is that one of the CFO songs, you know, that WWE, you know, has those guys under contract that do all the music? Or is that an actual song that they brought in, kind of like, you know, Randy Orton's got his own, you know, got a song? I'm not sure if that's an actual song or, you know, if it was made specifically for them. I don't know. If you know the answer, tweet me at Good Bros Podcast. Next, Elias is performing. Rhino interrupts him. It turns into another match in their rivalry, if you can even call it that. I mean, you know, Elias, I don't know if I fell asleep or what. I'm not quite sure what the whole deal is between Rhino and Elias anyway. But whatever. John Cena, he's got a promo video detailing how, you know, why he wants to take on The Undertaker at WrestleMania. And when he first started talking about it, how he has no road to WrestleMania, and then last week how he called out The Undertaker. After the commercial break, it leads into a very, very subpar match between John Cena and The Undertaker's brother Kane. John Cena's facial expressions just look like a child. I mean, I just cannot stand John Cena. Last week, I mean, you know, I've always kind of disliked him because of the whole Super Cena gimmick. But last week, it just really left a super bad distaste in my mouth. When Kane's coming out, this is supposed to be an evil guy. You know, he's supposed to be friends with the devil, and he's supposed to be scary and everything like that. And John Cena is just no-selling the fear, smiling. He's like, oh my god, it's Kane! I'm gonna get an answer! Like, you should have been scared to death. Like, you know what I mean? Or been serious. Like, it just, for one, that kills Kane's character. And it just makes, you know, I'm not even gonna get into it, but I just, John Cena, like, you know, I don't know. But he shouldn't have been no-selling the fear like that. Like, come on, man. You know, how are you supposed to, how are people supposed to suspend their disbelief when you act like that? You know what I mean? I don't know. How many times did I say you know what I mean? Probably like 12 times. If you counted, tweet me at Good Bros Podcast. I put in my notes, he doesn't sell fear at all, like last week when Kane showed up out of nowhere. Anyway, after Cena wins, he cuts a promo, and it's atrocious. The only thing it does is it gets fans to chant Undertaker. They do the clap afterwards. You know, they're like, Undertaker. Undertaker. You know that one? I know I'm pretty good at that, right? Huh? What y'all think? I could lead a chant, huh? Undertaker. I could do it, man. I could do it. Maybe they need to put me in the Spirit Squad. Bring the Spirit Squad back, and we'll do it. They were actually tag team champions, weren't they? Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were, guys. Anyway, one of the last things Cena said was, come on, Taker, you need to do something. Tell me no. Tell me yes. Tell me burn in hell. Do something. And then, you know, they had a light. Do something. Do something. I could have done that one better. I could have been like, do something. But they didn't put me in the Spirit Squad yet, so. Anyway, the show ended on that right there. I thought it was a very flat ending to the show. I don't know, but, you know, Cena, it's kind of like what Bruce Pritchard said about Hulk Hogan, you know, except it's John Cena in this case, you know. Cena must go over instead of Hogan must pose, you know. But, anyway, so I hope y'all enjoy the, I hope y'all enjoy the Tuesday Raw reviews and then the Wednesday SmackDown breakdowns. Please, if you like the 30-minute, you know, the gimmick that we got going on here, the shoot style that's 30 minutes or less, or just maybe just a little bit over 30 minutes for the Raw and SmackDown reviews on the morning after, let me know, you know, because I'm filling out my new schedule as far as recording and, you know, I want to record what y'all want to listen to. So, y'all, you know, let me know what you like. And I think that's it. Don't forget our sponsors. We have Copper Canyon Coffee. We have White Label Juice Co. for all your vape needs and for all your wholesale shirt needs. We have ShirtSpace.com. And don't forget, if you're in the McAllister, Oklahoma area, hit up Michael Brooks. He's the tent king. Any home or automobile tent needs, he is the man with the plan. All right, guys. Lastly, if you feel like tipping us here at the show, our tip jar link is pinned to the top of our Facebook and Twitter accounts. And that's all for me today. We are, the next 2 days, we're going to have some shows with Ray Cash from the SMC Wrestling Podcast, and then Rich from One Nation Live, which is a part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network. He has his own wrestling show over there. Really awesome guy. He's going to be coming on. He will be coming on in the morning time. So please don't forget to check that out, guys. I will give y'all plenty of heads up on social media before that episode drops. And for everyone out there, good day. Good mental health, and everyone stay too sweet. Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs.
mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?